Revolting People by Andy Hamilton and Jay Tarsis, with Jay Tarsis, James Fleet, Hugh Dennis, Tony Maudsley, Jan Ravens, Penelope Nice, and Andy Hamilton.
Dear Mr. Diary, the war clouds are looming, revolution's in the air, and soon the streets will be awash with blood. But who cares, because I'm raking in the loot. We closed down the shop and reopened as an all-night bar with drinking, gambling, and something that involves women taking the customers upstairs, which I don't necessarily sanction, but that's all part of the ambience of Sam's Place. That's what it's called. Kind of folksy, isn't it? We're thinking of franchising. And by we, I mean me and my business partner, Sergeant Roy McGurk. That's him on the piano. And he's not bad, considering he's only got the one arm. One of everything McGurk's got. Arm, leg, eye. I'm sure there's more, but I don't want to know about it.
More ale, Barman!
Shut your face, you red-coated British filth! My father's not your slave!
And that's my daughter, Mary. Mary waitresses for us when she's not organizing rebellion against the British.
Who wants to try my coffee?
Shouts my huge son, Joshua. 7 feet of solid muscle, which sadly leaves little room for a brain.
We love coffee.
Catch!
Son, how many times must I tell you, throwing hot beverages at the customers is not considered good business practice.
Oh, they love it. It's called atmosphere. You want to try some of my coffee? I'm moving into coffee, Father. See? Lots of different coffees in different size paper cups. What do you think this big size is called?
Big?
No, Larry. And the little one's called Kevin. I've named him after all my friends. Would you like a Steve of something?
Joshua, this won't work. What kind of gullible idiots would queue for coffee in a paper cup with stupid names for the cup sizes?
Who were you talking to just now?
Oh, my journal, as I wrote.
Talking to a book? That's strange behavior.
Sometimes you talk to your imaginary friends.
Yeah, but at least that's social.
Hey, we're waiting to be served, you big donkey!
Don't you talk to my father that way. He's not well.
I'm talking to you!
Oh, well, that's all right, then.
Bring us 6 coffees, Kevin size.
See, Father? These are the kind of gullible idiots you were talking about.
Sam, what do you think of my piano playing?
Well, I didn't recognize the tune.
No, neither did I. This was a great idea of mine, wasn't it, eh? To turn your drab, humdrum shop into a glamorous hotspot. Best idea I've had since I booby-trapped my false leg to dispose of that woodpecker. Do you remember that?
I remember the explosion.
Yeah. Just look at this place, eh? It is swarming with customers of every race, colour and creed. There's English, Irish, German, French-Canadian, Canadian-French, French-French and Canadian-Canadian. There are Eskimos trading sealskins. Italians taking a cut from the Eskimos trading sealskins. There are hollow-eyed European refugees fleeing from their lives of abject misery in Russia, Prussia, Poland and Ipswich. There are dozens of Malay pirates and Norwegian whalers, 9 Dutch privateers, 3 Spanish mariners and 1 very bewildered Japanese tourist.
Can you say all that again? Because I want to write it down in my journal.
You're writing a journal?
Yep.
Why?
Well, for posterity, of course. Future generations may want to hear about the life and times of Samuel Oliphant.
Why, they're going to be very bored.
Are you implying my life's dull?
I'm not implying. No. I must get around to writing my autobiography one day. You know? I won't pull any punches, mine. No. My life story will be warts and all.
Well, let's be honest, it'll be mostly warts, wouldn't it?
Well, it's true, I am blessed with over 300 of the little tufty beauties, but...
Samuel, I really must protest in the strongest possible terms.
Said Captain Walter Brimshaw.
What are you doing?
I'm jotting down your words for posterity in my journal.
Posterity? Me?
Yes.
You mean in a couple of hundred years' time, people might read the words of little old me?
Yeah, but only if you say something interesting.
There's always a catch, isn't there?
But you were saying...
Yes, I really must protest.
I know what you're going to say.
Do you?
Yes, you're going to say, I really must protest at my having been billeted in your house all this time, rent-free. Therefore, I insist you accept this huge sum of money.
No, that's not what I was going to say.
Oh, dear. Well, then it's not going in my journal.
Damn!
Death to King George!
That's what I'm protesting about.
When the revolution comes, we're going to stick his head on a spike and use it to clean the toilets!
If your daughter continues to provoke my men with her bad manners, rioting will ensue. And if your boy keeps hurling scalding hot liquids at them,
It's called atmosphere.
It's called assault.
Oh, stop bleeding, you aristocratic whinge monkey!
Hold your tongue, madam.
You hold it, poncy boy!
You hellcat!
You're a pansy!
You hoyden!
You puppy!
You shrew!
You jellyfish!
You You hand me that thesaurus. Sorry to keep you down. Ah, you termagant.
You stumblebum.
Virago.
You sprout.
Is this flirting?
Well, what do you think, you fluff-chinned whelp?
Well, I can never tell with you, Mary, because...
Well, perhaps this will clarify it.
How dare you strike me, madam?
And what are you going to do about it? Physically overpower me like some rampaging animal and have your wicked way with me?
Of course not. I wouldn't dream of it.
I'll ask you that question again. Are you going to physically overpower me and have your wicked way with me in the back room to which I have the key?
Oh, I see. Yes, that's exactly what I intend to do. Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Will no one come to my aid?
Well, I could help if you like.
Don't even think about it, Stumpy.
Come, my pretty, to the back room, and don't even give me any trouble or whatever the last thing.
They make such an unlikely couple.
Yeah, but opposites attract, don't they? You know, that's why, as a one-legged man, I'm only attracted to women with two legs. Yeah, unless there's an emergency, you know.
Not going drinking.
You want more to drink?
Yeah, bitte. To numb the pain of existence. To quote your Shakespeare, tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps on this petty pace.
You know you're Bard?
Yes, I do.
No, you know that you are Bard. So, get out.
But what?
No, it's your own fault. You shouldn't have thrown up in the porridge last night. And what's more, once you'd thrown up in it...
I should have apologized.
No, you should have mentioned it to someone. We ended up serving customers vomit-flavored porridge. Luckily, they were all English, so nobody complained. But next time, we might not be so lucky.
Was sagt der, mein Kamerad? Was ist los?
Oh, careful, Sam. This is turning a bit nasty.
I don't care.
Yeah, but these redcoats are mercenaries from the Teutonic province of Hesse. Vicious, brutal thugs who are greatly feared by all American colonists in this year of 1774.
Why are you telling me stuff I already know?
Well, I'm just trying to give our conversation a historical context, aren't I? I mean, that way it'll look more interesting for posterity when you write it down in your journal. With your quill made from a goose feather.
I know what my quill's made from.
Yeah, but posterity doesn't. Write it down. Come on.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. Ask him.
You are about us talking, yes?
Oh, they're getting itchy trigger fingers.
So I'm not scared. All right, now I'm scared.
You are trying to eject mein Comrade, yeah?
Yeah, I air hotted mein porridge gevomiten.
I didn't know you could speak German.
No, neither did I. Amazing what fear can do.
Gentlemen, I can't help noticing a little bit of tension in the air, but I'm sure that with a spirit of friendship and conciliation, we can all...
Are these massacring krauts bothering you, Father?
Was?
Oh, don't be offended, gents. Massacring krauts is just American rhyming slang.
American rhyming slang.
Yeah. Massacring krauts... Shouts.
Yeah, that's right. She was just asking me if all this shouting was bothering me, weren't you, honey?
We will not be insulted.
Who's for a sing-song? What do you say?
What?
Jolly sing-song to bring us all together?
Very well. We shall all sing the Hessian national anthem in a loud and intimidating fashion.
Hess, 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 Hess,
got a nice beat to it, hadn't it?
And a certain thematic unity that I found...
Oh, kill me now.
We don't have to listen to this! Our lads have an anthem of their own.
We have an anthem?
A song to stir the blood, to show these oppressors our defiance. Oh, freedom from the tyrant hordes and all across our land. The bells ring out and men will shout, our noble cause will stand. Come on, patriots, on your feet. Come on, everybody. Let not the royal roosters ring. Our cause is just and pure. So swing your arms until your farms and pelt them with manure.
That was beautiful, Mary.
Second verse!
No! Yes,
that was very stirring, Mary. What do you call that anthem?
Slit the bastard's throats.
Bastard's throats? Coats. Yeah, that's haberdasher's rhyming slang.
Yeah, you hear it all the time in Savile Row, songs about coats.
Songs about coats. Gents, there's really no need for all this musket cocking or trigger squeezing. It's what's that you say, Joshua? Coffee on the house for all our German friends.
All right. Cats!
No, not airborne. Normal.
Oh, all right. Step this way, gents.
Zwei Kevin, drei Larry und ein Steve mit whipped cream, bitte.
Excuse me, young man. Are you by any chance an Oliphant?
Joshua Oliphant, son of Sam.
Is your father here?
That's him over there, picking bits of vomit out of porridge. Oh,
just as I remember him.
You know my father?
From a long, long time ago.
Ooh, that's mysterious. Father, mysterious, beautiful lady to see you.
What? Can't you see that I'm...
Hello, Sam.
Ingrid.
Sam.
Ingrid.
Sam.
You look wonderful.
And so do you.
What about me?
You look good, too.
Go away. Joshua.
Sorry.
Oh, Ingrid, Ingrid, Ingrid.
Oh, Sam. Sam.
Sam.
I was going to say that.
How long has it been?
22 years, 3 months, 14 days, roughly.
The day you left, I waited for you on the roof, but you never came. I waited and waited.
Well, it would have helped if you'd said which roof.
Our roof.
Oh, our roof. Oh, I love that roof, where we kept our caged birds.
Our pigeons, cockatoos, and parrots.
Our parrots. I loved our parrots.
Thought it was me you loved.
Oh, Sam. Sam, please don't be angry with me. I couldn't bear it.
Why didn't you come, Ingrid? Why?
I wanted to. So very much. But you see, my darling, my parents hated you. My father especially. Well, and my mother, she couldn't stand the sight of you.
They never even met me.
I know, but Swedes are like that. They just take against people. I told them how much I loved you, and I can still hear my father's angry words as he looked at me and said, "Du kan inte gifta dig med honom, han är fel för folk."
He said that?
Yes, and then my mother remarked, "Du kan inte gifta dig med honom, han är fel för folk."
Is she Swedish?
Yes, but she grew up in Birmingham and never quite lost the accent.
Uh-huh.
But you must believe me, darling, when I say that not a day goes by when I don't think of you. Well, a few days, maybe. But not very many, mostly Tuesdays, because that's my big shopping day, and Saturdays, my Saturdays are crazy. But...
Listen, Blue Eyes, I'm not the sap I used to be. What do you want from me?
I can't tell you here. Is there anywhere the two of us can be alone?
Meet me on the roof, sugar.
Oh, look on me and weep, for I am as poor cursed Prometheus, punished by the cruel gods for his good intentions and chained forever to his ignominious rock of doom.
All I did was ask you to hold the baby for a minute.
Cora, oh. I am constantly holding babies.
Babies are a full-time job, Ezekiel, and since you have no other job, you might as well pitch in.
The babies are a constant joy, Cora, but I would enjoy an evening on the town every once in a blue moon. Just the two of us.
Never gonna happen. The twins are too young. And what's his name needs minding as well?
Ezekiel Jr.
Yes, him, the ginger-haired one.
They're all ginger-haired.
And cute as buttons.
You and I, however, are raven-haired.
I know. There's still so much we don't know about genetics.
But they look so
look,
like...
You're the father, Ezekiel. Just live with it. Whether you remember our two evenings of connubial bliss or not.
Fine. Any chance of a third evening of connubial bliss?
Perhaps when you have gainful employment again, we'll discuss the possibility.
But how can I find employment when I am forever minding the babies?
Ah, there's the rub.
I'd rather you didn't use the word rub in my present condition. Oh, who can that be?
Father!
Cora, Ezekiel.
Samuel, is it true that you have turned your humble, respectable shop into a den of vice and iniquity full of gamblers, drinkers, and wanton women of the night?
Yep.
I see. Do you need any extra help over there? Only I'm looking...
No, I wouldn't dream of it. You need to devote your precious time to your little strawberry moppets.
What do you want, Father?
I need your ladder.
Why?
To get up on your roof, of course. Oh, and if a Swedish woman knocks on the door, can you send her on up? Cheers.
Freezing up here, Sam.
I've been waiting hours for you. What took you so long?
Well, again, it would have helped if you'd said which roof, but never mind. I'm here now.
Here, I'll pull the ladder up, give us some privacy.
Well, this certainly is a roof, but no birds.
That was another roof, another time.
Sam, you're still angry.
Sure I'm angry. You hurt me, Ingrid. I thought we had everything. We were young. We were in love. The world was our oyster. But you turned that oyster upside down. And the pearl of our happiness was dislodged and fell out of the oyster into the tangled mass of seaweed on the ocean floor. And it got devoured by scuttling, scavenging...
crabs?
Thanks, boy. I was really struggling there.
You know, oyster analogies are so difficult to sustain, my darling.
What do you want, Ingrid? Why have you climbed back into my life?
I need your help, Sam.
Help?
Yes, me and my husband.
Husband? Boy, you really know how to keep sticking in that knife, don't you, lady?
He's a good man, Sam.
Who is he?
Gérard Depardieu.
I know that name.
Oh, no, no. You're thinking of Gérard Depardieu, the fishmonger. This is Gérard Depardieu, the French cavalry officer who's here secretly training American militiamen. He was in your shop today, disguised as a Japanese tourist.
You mean that little fellow who kept saying thank you to everyone for no reason?
That was him.
Oh, he is very convincing.
But the British know he's here. They'll kill him if they find him. You have to hide him and then help him to escape to France tonight. Please, Sam, please. What do you say?
How did he do that thing with his eyes? Was it like some sort of glue that he was using?
Sam, focus, please.
Oh, yeah. Will you be going back to France with him?
He's my husband, Samuel.
Well, then forget it, baby. I'm looking out for number one from now on.
This isn't you. I know what kind of a man you are.
Don't be too sure, sweetheart.
I'm sure. You're a good man, Sam.
And you're a beautiful woman, Ingrid. 25 years later, up here on the roof with the wind stinging your cheeks and your hair all snarled and stuck to the side of your head. And your lips all cracked and raw and your nose running with snot. Still as irresistible as you ever were.
Stop it, Sam, stop it. It isn't fair, not now.
The world ain't fair, Cinderella.
I know. But will you help me, Sam? Will you?
What time is it?
It's 3:15. There's no one in the place except for the both of us. That's got a nice ring to it, hasn't it, don't you think?
Me and the Swede. I can't help wondering what might have been. Tell me, Roy, when you look back at all the things you've done in your life, do you have any regrets?
No, just alibis.
You see, Ingrid was special and I... Well, do you understand what I'm saying? Have you ever had a relationship with a woman who was unique?
Yep, two of them. Siamese twins from Madagascar.
Why am I wasting my breath on you?
What?
Well, I'm talking about a depth of feeling and emotion you've never experienced.
Yeah, there was a woman once. She's the one woman I'll never forget, but we're destined never to be together. It happened 20 years ago. 20 years ago.
Put down that harp.
It's just for mood. I'm very versatile.
Tell the story.
All right. Well, I was sitting in the waiting room of a coach house, waiting for a carriage to London, when through the door walks this respectable, well-bred lady, real class, she had, you know, and our eyes met briefly across the waiting room.
Say briefly?
Yeah.
Good, because that's a key word.
And then, as she looked at me, she suddenly said, may I be of some assistance?
No, it's all right. It's just a piece of grit that's gone into my eye.
Let me help you.
No, please, it's nothing. I don't want to make
please,
a fuss.
Please.
No, it's fine. I'm just being silly.
I can get it out for you.
You're... very kind.
Not at all, not an avy. Just look upwards for me.
Like that?
That's good. Oh, yes, I can see it. Now, if you just keep very still, I'll get it out for you.
Oh!
Something the matter?
Well, I'd rather imagine that when you said you'd get it out, you'd use a moistened hanky or something like that, rather than your thumb.
Oh, very still.
You have washed that thumb, haven't you?
Oh, yes, miss, last March. And I got that piece of grit out, Sam. And you know what happened after that?
You both fell in love.
No, she lost the use of that eye. Rapid infection, just turned septic and plopped right out. Then she got some hired thugs to beat me to a pulp, and that's why she's the woman I'll never forget.
And you're destined never to be together.
Because she hates me, that's right, yeah.
It's not really a love story, is it?
Well, what's your definition of a love story?
Something that's tender and bittersweet and might actually have happened.
That happened?
It was a pack of lies, and you know it.
The blind in the woman was true. I'm just trying to be helpful, but somehow...
I know what you're trying to do, McGurk.
Yeah, all right. I'm trying to distract you, you poor, miserable, lovesick lug.
Play it, Roy.
Oh, don't make me do that, Sam. It's only going to make things worse.
I don't care. Of all the bars that formerly were general stores selling sundry goods in all the world, she has to walk into mine.
Ours.
Play it, Roy.
Please, Sam, I can't.
Damn it, Roy. If she can take it, I can. Play it.
All right. You ask for it.
That's not it.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, eh?
Forget about it.
Well, that was pretty damn good, though, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't what I had in mind.
Well, excuse me, I'm working with one arm here. You're going to go and help your Swedish smorgasbord?
Oh, yeah, I better get down to the docks.
It's so foggy. I can't see 2 feet in front of my face.
Well, why would you want to see 2 feet in front of your face? That'd be scary. Feet in front of your face?
Joshua.
That'd mean someone was flying at you feet first.
It's just an... It's an expression. Now, will you be quiet? Because there's British sentries everywhere.
Yeah, but she says these things, and I don't know why...
Shh! Where's Ingrid?
Here, Sam.
All right, now we're going to sneak Gerard out on this dray cart. We'll just make room for him by shifting this goat.
He is the goat.
You're kidding. Damn, that guy's good.
No, don't do the noise, darling. It sounds a bit French. You might give yourself away.
If you're following somebody up a ladder, then you can have 2 feet in front of your face.
Oh, God, forget the feet.
Samuel, do you mind if I ask a small question?
Yes, Ezekiel.
What the hell am I doing here?
Well, you're always saying you need a night out.
Yes, but Cora, not to take part in an act of sedition.
Halt! Who goes there?
No, it's Brimshaw. Let me do the talking.
Identify yourselves, friend or foe.
We be friends, matey. A happy band of jack-tars just minding our own business, waiting for the schooner that'll take us across the briny to jolly old Blighty, don't you know?
So you're British sailors?
Arr, doubloons.
Oh, well, that's all right. Pass, friend.
Thank you, Captain Brimshaw.
Wait a second.
Mary, is that you? And Joshua? Samuel? Cora? Ezekiel? And a mysterious Swedish lady, and a dray cart carrying a French-sounding goat.
You see, darling, I told you.
Unless I miss my bet, something untoward's going on here.
No, nothing untoward.
It'd be odd if we didn't do this.
Might I ask all of you to step away from the dray cart?
Walter, please, don't be ridiculous.
I'll ask you once again. Step away from the dray cart.
But of course. Actually, I think we'd better head off. It's not fair on the babysitter.
Stay where you are. We've had reports that Gerard Depardieu has been seen in the area.
The fishmonger?
The French cavalry officer and hero who's training the local insurgents in insurgency.
Well, that's just goofy.
All due respect, Mr. Oliphant, it is not goofy. It's these topsy-turvy times we live in that's turned the world upside down. Now, step away from the dray cart and hand over that goat.
Words I never thought I'd live to hear.
Why do you all keep glancing over my shoulder? What's out there? Hold on. It's a blinking light. By golly, I think you people are smuggling something onto that boat. I think you're planning...
McGurk! You've killed Walter!
Oh, I didn't do nothing.
You're holding a frying pan and it's still reverberating.
Well, he must have backed into it.
Did not back into it. He was attacked.
Then I'm shot. Shot, but we'll get to the bottom of this. I'll round up the usual cutthroats. Now, get Gerard on the boat quick. Mary, tend to the captain. Cora, Ezekiel, get off home. And Joshua... You make yourself scarce.
Well, how can I make myself scarce? There's only one of me as it is, so how can I get more scarce than that?
No. He means you can get lost.
Well, not around here. This is my hometown. I couldn't get lost if I tried.
Just go.
Okay,
quick, miss. You hurry up that gangplank.
Sergeant, I can't thank you enough for what you've done. You have a good heart.
My pleasure, miss. I'll just take my leave. Here's my invoice. End of the month will do fine.
Right. Sam. What you have done tonight makes me care for you even more.
Frenchie's safe below decks?
Yes. And I've made a decision. I'm going to stay here in America with you.
What?
That is, if you'll have me.
But...
No. No, don't say anything, my beloved. I've hungered to be with you ever since those days long ago on the roof.
No, listen to me, you headstrong little fool. Gerard, your husband, your place is with him. You belong with him.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, goodbye then.
That's it?
Well, when you're right, you know you're right. Thanks again, though. See ya.
Yeah, but I was going to say that if you did stay with me, it'd be a decision you'd regret. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon.
I know. I hear you. I'm sticking with the Frenchman.
Well, I forgot to say that you and I, we don't add up to a hill of beans in this cockeyed world.
What?
Beans.
What about them?
We don't add up to a hill of them.
Oh, I know. And they give you gas.
I look at your face, Ingrid. I still see that young girl on the roof. You and me together feeding the pigeons, caring for the cockatoos and the parrots. That's a memory I'll take with me always.
Yes, we'll always have parrots.
Did she say you'll always have parrots?
Yeah, I'm afraid she did.
Oh, strange woman.
You know, what you did to that captain, well, in some circles it could be construed as mutiny.
Well, and what you lot did, absolute treason, in some circles.
Of course, I didn't actually see you pop the captain in the head.
Yeah, I didn't notice any actual treason, per se.
I thought Ingrid had gotten a little fat.
I wasn't going to say anything, but I found her rather Rubenesque, now you mention it.
Mm.
You know, I reckon you should write this whole thing down in your journal, because it could turn out to be one of the great love stories of American culture, as soon as you decide to have one.
Yeah, you could be right, Roy. Maybe in the future we'll invent a kind of magic lantern show where stories are told with big pictures of actors moving on a huge screen, sort of like the theater, only flatter.
Yeah, maybe.
And maybe I'll be played by the leading glamorous actor of the day.
Well, with respect, Sam, any leading glamorous actor is going to want to play the part of me, isn't he?
Why?
Well, because I'm the disabled character. I mean, whoever plays me picks up all the awards.
Uh-huh. You know? Right. Yeah, I think I will write my story down, because it's got everything you need to be a success, hasn't it? It's got heroism, danger, adventure, romance. I think I might add a shark.
Good idea. Yeah, just to spice it up a bit. A huge white shark.
Yeah.
That only eats naked ladies.
No, I'm the girl.